Be with us, Lord, and allow us to worship you in the spirit and in the truth. Don't give me chance to speak my mind. Help me forget everything that is mine and remember only that which comes from you. That will glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Can I have your seats? Open with me to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 4. And I'm reading only verses 16 through 19. Thus says the Lord. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Thus says the Lord. We welcome all of you to Reconciliation Baptist Church, more especially our dear visitors. Thank you for planning to come and worship the Creator with us. Today, being the third Sunday of the month, it's our custom to go out and evangelize. And as you look forward to going out for evangelism after service today, I want to challenge you on your neglected assigned duties. And this is the title of our sermon today, Your Neglected Assigned Duties. And let me first explain three words in this title. Beginning with the word duty, what does it mean? It simply means business. Try to speed up a bit. Service or task that one is supposed to accomplish. Yeah, that's duty. It's a task that you are supposed to accomplish. The second word is the verb to assign, which means to transfer something to another, or to appoint to a duty, to appoint someone to a duty. And the third word is the verb to neglect, which simply means to give little attention or respect to something. Also means to disregard something or to leave something undone or unattended to, especially through carelessness. So, in this title, the Lord is reminding you that there are some duties that he had assigned to you, but you have neglected them, or you have given them little attention or respect. You have left them undone. These duties are evangelism and missions. And let's begin with our second neglected duty, because I want to begin with the second, then come and end with the first. The second neglected duty, missions. And as I just, we'll talk about these two. just trying to answer answer what is mission and then how do you neglect missions. What is missions? The word missions comes from the Latin missio, which is a translation of the Greek word apostole, simply meaning a sending away. Yeah, in the word apostle or apostole, we have two words, apo, which means from, and then stelo, which is to send. It is to send from somewhere place to another place. Missions involve sending individuals and groups of believers called missionaries to parts of the world where others have not heard about the Lord. So don't forget the sending from to. Those are very crucial. The key word in this work is to send. Or the key activity is to send. In the Bible, the verb to send is used over and over again. The God we serve is a mission-oriented, mission-focused God. Is the one who first thought of sending the very first and genuine missionary. His only Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very first apostle or missionary. We have so many false apostles in Uganda these days. Ask them who sent them. They were sent where? Jesus Christ is the great apostle, the great sent one. As Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 tells us, and I read for you. It says, therefore, holy brothers, you who share in heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him. So you thought that it was only Pastor Bill calling Jesus an apostle. He was the apostle, the right one. Yeah, so I'll be brief about missions because I'll come back to it again after explaining evangelism. Yeah, so you see that the God we serve is a sending God. He sent his Son from heaven to earth. And you've just sung that he left the splendors, the glories of heaven, came here knowing his destiny that would not be easy. And the question to you this morning, RBC, are you a sending church? If yes, how? And if no, what are you doing here? Close that door and go home and dig kasori. Go and dig. Go and dig maize. If you don't send people into the world for the gospel, close this door, go and dig cassava. How have you neglected missions? RBC. You have neglected it. One. By giving little attention to it. And you know what I mean. And yet God the Father gave all his attention to missions. You neglect it by disregarding it, by leaving it undone or unattended to. It's just there. If someone from outside asks you, Do you believe in missions? Oh yes, we do. But in practice, we don't see it. We've been in existence for how many years? Some good years now. None has come from this very family to somewhere. Because the brother we call our church plant there, we just adopted him. Remember the title of this message. Your assigned neglected duties. We'll come back to that. But before I go to the second neglected duty, let me give you some reasons why you have to give all your attention and money and efforts to missions. You must give all your attention and efforts to missions because missions was started by God. The very first sending agent, as our text tells us. So when you come to our text, Luke chapter 4, verse 18, but be there, we read something like, "He has sent me." Yes. Down there, chapter 4, verse 18b. "He has sent me." This is Jesus Christ speaking. The true and genuine missionary. And John 3:16, the passage that you love and maybe know very well. It says, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And mostly people tend to stop there. But down there, there is verse 17 that tells us this. For God did not send his Son into the world to come and condemn the world. So in verse 16, God gave his only begotten Son. How did he give him? By sending him into the world. So I'm trying to show you the importance of sending. Reason number two, you must give all your attention and efforts to missions because God commands it. It's a command. It's not that you do missions if you feel like. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. What you call the great commission, sorry. He says with power and authority, go! And again, do you hear the idea of go? We are coming back to those words, send and go. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. John 20:21, Jesus says, the resurrected king, when he appeared to his disciples, I read, he said, Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I'm sending you. And in his priestly prayer in John 17, verse 18, he says, addressing his heavenly Father, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. So in the Bible, God the Father sent the Son. And then the Father, God the Son also sent the church for the same mission. Reason number three. You must give all your attention and efforts to missions because People are perishing. Don't you have compassion for the lost? But if you say that you got born again and you don't feel any compassion for the lost, I'm not God to say you are not. But just I beg you to put a question mark on your conversion. What kind of salvation is that? People are perishing. People are dying. And you sit comfortably doing your business. Very busy. But I see people who work and do business. You are very busy. That's good. Very busy. People are perishing. My brother John Piper says this, quote, compassion for the lost is a high and beautiful motive for missionary labor. This means that you don't mind about missions because you don't have compassion for the lost, period. And that's why you sit comfortably here. Did he call us to come and be enjoying the comfort of these four walls every Sunday? Are you really a disciple of the King of Compassion? You read throughout the New Testament. He was full of compassion. At a certain point, he told disciples, I feel compassion for the crowds. Because they've been with me throughout the day. And you say you are following the King of Compassion, and yet you don't have any compassion for the lost. The hymn that we are going to end with today says, rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep over the erring ones or the lost. Lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. You only weep when they dismiss you from that good job. You only weep when you lose your capital. Or when that boy or that girl says, I no longer love you. You weep. You've never shed a tear for the lost. But you believe you are the disciple of the King of Compassion. The first neglected duty, evangelism. I'm going to tell you why this is the first. But let's first understand what is evangelism. It is the term used to refer to the preaching or proclamation of good news. It comes from the same Greek word for the word gospel. Yes, they all come from euangelion in the Greek language, which literally means spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Evangelism is far more important than missions. Far. Why? Because one, this is the thing itself. Two, without evangelism, missions can't exist. And three, missions works simply as the vehicle to carry the real thing, the thing itself, evangelism, where God wants it to go. You know, now, if you neglect missions the way I think you do, then I have to to question evangelism. That's why I had to just try to talk about both in the same message. Otherwise, I need 2 hours to talk about missions alone and 2 hours to speak about evangelism alone. We are going to see if you send a missionary somewhere, you send them to do what? It is evangelism, or the gospel, that makes missions very important. I was listening to the American gospel documentary, and in one of them gives with the words of our dear brother who's with the Lord, Nabil Qureshi. And the words from Nabil make my heart bleed always, because he was a staunch Muslim, but he was studying with Christians. Many were his roommates at campus. But he says many of them, those Christians, did not know why they believed whatever they believed. Because none of them could talk to him about what they believe. And then he was asking himself many questions. Why? They say they are Christians, but they cannot tell me about their treasures, about their inheritance. And he concluded this way, that either they did not know why they believed whatever they believed, or they did not care at all whether I go to hell or not. Can this be true with you? In our text, we have our Lord Jesus, after being tempted by and defeating the devil in the wilderness, he returned to Galilee, taught in the synagogues, and after that he went to Nazareth, where he grew up from. On Sabbath he went to the synagogue and was given a scroll of the prophet Isaiah to read. In it he went straight to the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news." He sent me to proclaim liberty. This text gives us the reason why God the Father sent his Son. That is what I call, in my own language, the missionaries of Swaga. A big number of missionaries today are missionaries of Swaga. I'll explain to you later what I mean by that. Yeah, because you see, missionaries leaving their countries come to Africa to do their own things and to do many other things. And then you wonder, did you leave your parents to just come and build houses in Uganda? Really? So now the reason is here in the words of the missionary himself, Jesus Christ. We've learned that the Father sent him to do what? And Jesus provides the answer. But before I go to that answer, it's again heartbreaking to see that many other things have been involved in missions these days. Many so-called missionaries are sent into mission fields only to conduct mass ministry. Mass ministry, this is what I'm talking about, serving the poor and the hungry, providing relief, education, to do medical ministry, social justice, and the rest. And if you went into Google to ask about what missions is, unfortunately, many places in Google will give you such a definition of missions. To leave one country to another, to speak about the faith of Christianity, also to provide education and relief and social justice, medical. Because they have mixed these other things into the real thing, the enemy has made them forget the real, or drop the real thing and remain with the other fake things. Am I saying you should not do mercy ministry? No. Am I saying you should not involve or mix mercy ministry into your missions? No. But that's not the real thing you've come to do in Uganda or in Zambia or in Nigeria. Now, listen to now the words from the real missionary. Check whether he had two agendas in his missions on earth. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me." To anoint is to set apart, to prepare someone for a mission. In the Old Testament, kings, priests, and prophets used to be anointed before they enter their ministries. So God the Father, the Spirit of God the Father anointed the Son. He has sent me. After being anointed, after anointing him, he sent him to come and do what here below. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives. And recovering of sight to the blind. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Yeah, I've been talking to some friends of mine about preaching. Don't use the verb share with preaching. Don't. You don't share the gospel, and you don't need to share the gospel. Proclaim or preach the gospel. You don't need to share. What do you have to share? Proclaim it. Yeah, you don't take words for granted. Go, use your dictionaries. You have them. After service today, we are going out to share the gospel. No, go and proclaim it. So we've seen what missionaries are supposed to be doing in the missions field. Number one, to preach, which means to proclaim. They are the same thing. And you'll see that in the list of our Lord here, in the words of our Lord, many phrases are parallels. They mean the same, using different words. He says that the Father sent him to proclaim. Yeah, so to proclaim, he repeats again down there, you have sent me to proclaim again. And lastly again, verse 19, to proclaim three times the word proclaim. And then let's see what he came to proclaim. One, he says, to proclaim the good news. Number two, to proclaim liberty. The good news and liberty, they are together. Because this good news is the one that brings liberty. But also to proclaim the year of the Lord. And then he came to proclaim this good news to who? One, to the poor. Two, to the captives. They are the same group of people. If you don't know Christ, you are poor. You are captive. You are blind. If so, you don't need to mix meaningless things with this agenda. If you are doing missions only to build orphanages and do this, then you are not really, you have missed the mark. In this text, the poor have nothing to do with those who struggle with life. The word poor here in this text. Those who lack the comforts of this life. Unfortunately, many churches in Uganda are now attacking that type of a person, a poor. You don't need to be poor. You don't need not to drive. You don't need to be renting. The word poor here does not talk about that one. In the community, these people that you call poor consider themselves as nobodies. They feel unworthy because they have nothing. And the poor in spirit are those who feel unworthy. They feel nobodies because of their sins. Are those who are truly sorrowful for sin. Yeah, so if you sit here this morning and you feel, no, I'm not like this, then you are rich in your spirit, and you have no portion with Christ. You have no room with Christ. You need to first go down. RBC, how have you neglected evangelism? Pastor Bill, we fail to understand you. You are talking to us about neglecting evangelism, and yet this is our day for evangelism. You have neglected it. You remain doing it as a formality. In the past, if I remember, we used to announce from the beginning of the month that on the third Sunday of the month, let's all of us try to invite a neighbor, a relative who does not know Christ, so that they come for service, because it's an evangelistic service. Even the preaching will be evangelistic. If we are 20 members, that means on a Sunday like this one will be 40, because everyone will come with another person. And the evangelistic sermon that your pastor prepared will go straight into those hearts. I'm not saying that The saints of Jesus don't need to hear evangelistic messages. No. But have things right. The local church inside here, this is not more about evangelism, it's about discipleship. You go out and evangelize. Those you get, bring them in here for disciple, for growth. So now, if you come on a Sunday like this, alone, the truth about Jesus Christ that we are proclaiming, you know them already. But you left your mother there, your neighbor, who don't know anything about this. Can we, RBC, can we go back to our first love? Can you start even today thinking about the third Sunday of October? That you come with someone to hear about Christ? Yeah, so our love has grown cold in that way. Two, how have you neglected the evangelism? I observe it myself. On a Sunday like this, very few brethren go out. Why should I lie and the Bible asks me not to lie? I'm speaking facts. Many of you just go home. And many of you remain here chatting. Very few will go out. You are going out for your own businesses. I left my shop, you know, it has been locked since morning. It's okay, and I'm not saying that opening it is sinful. No, I'm not saying that. But you are lacking zeal for your God. You don't have zeal. I was listening to Brother Paul Walsh and say, why should you allow those others steal my inheritance from me? Yeah, because he says Reformed people fear the Holy Spirit, the Pentecostals, they are the one that... No, it's not true. That's not true. The Holy Spirit is ours. And again, RBC, you are leaving the zeal to the Pentecostals and other people, Jehovah's Witnesses. You leave your zeal to Muslims who don't know the truth. You see Muslims? You see Seventh-day Adventists close their shops and businesses on Sabbath day, their so-called Sabbath day. But you, even on the day when you need to go for the lost, you rush and leave your brethren to go and open your shop. Your assigned neglected duties. It's a command. You don't need to go out because you feel like the master commanded you to go out. Nabil Qureshi says, you believe, you don't know the why you believe what you believe. That's why you don't want to tell others about what you believe. You neglect evangelism by giving little attention to it. What you do as evangelism is nothing. Only the third week of the Sunday and only a few brothers and sisters go out, and that's evangelism. And because you've read more books, you start applying things that are not even there and say, you know, when you strategies of the evangelism, if you go and speak on the people passing by, it's not effective. I do agree with you. It's not. That's for Pentecostals. You see them there. Yo, Jesus loves you. No, that's not effective. It's not. I agree with you. But you need it as well. In other words, we need many evangelistic strategies, not only one, every Sunday, every third Sunday, to go out and speak, you know, Jesus Christ. And even the things you tell them, you are not sure about them yourself. Many of you dodge and go home because, one, they feel ashamed. How are they going to see me on the streets if you feel ashamed to proclaim the gospel? Forget about saying that we are going to heaven with you. If he did not feel ashamed about you, why do you feel ashamed about him? And what kind of shame will you experience outside there? Because you are too beautiful, my sister. You are too handsome, my brother. You sang it yourselves here. He left the splendors of heaven, knowing his destiny, knowing that he would be left naked on the cross at Calvary. He knew it because of you. You should not be dodging a day like this. You should not be going home. Please. You should not. Or else you want to force me question your salvation. He was naked. The piece of cloth you see on him on those movies, it's because of children. Romans used to crucify them naked. A young man of 33 years old. When I was 33 years old, that's when I was most proud. I don't want anything to ashamed me. Just you don't want even to speak out about Christ to ashamed you. You dodge because you don't know what to say. You don't give it enough attention. Let's revise even 10, 15, 20 different strategies to reach the lost. Our brother Caleb wanted even that speaker. What does he do it here from just waiting for Sunday? That speaker has to be going out there and people not leaving it alone with him. I love the courage of my brother. I love him so much. He does not feel ashamed like you. Join him. Let us join him and be standing on the street and tell people about Christ. I've been reading about our sister church in Cape Town for some time now. Reformed Faith Mission Church down there. That many times they find dead bodies in their church compound. Yeah, I could not really understand what the brother was meaning. Until when recently I went and worshiped with them. The brother who drove me from where I was staying to church, when we entered the community where the church is, immediately I felt every hair of my body say, no, am I going to come out of this church alive or not? Yeah, because our brothers are in the midst of walls. It's Belleville South is a gangster township in Cape Town. Where you see people even in a brand in a day like this, in the light of the day, move with guns. So when we entered that the environment, I really felt a sense of fear. Even the driver told me, Pastor Bill, are you sure this is where they told you to come and worship from? Say it is. I say, but this is a very dangerous area. I live in Cape Town. I know, Pastor B, you brought me to a very dangerous area. But you see those brothers every week on the streets. Many times they are proclaiming Christ, and we are hearing the bullets everywhere. But my fellow Ugandan, with the peace the Lord has granted us under the reign of Museveni, you fear to go and tell people about Christ. When will you? My friend Piper says, where passion for God is weak, zeal for the missions will be weak as well. The passion for God is weak in your heart. Reason why you behave the way you do. I wish we could remain Reformed Baptists, but we borrow the zeal of Seventh-day Adventists or Muslims. You see that if you close your shop on Sunday, you'll die. Pastor Bill, you are talking about, do you know about the rent of Kampala? It's very high. It's okay, I know it's very high. But the zeal of God in you is too low. Compassion for people must be detached, must not be detached from the passion for the glory of God. So now, I want to talk about both now at the same time, missions and evangelism. Yeah, because missions is just a vehicle to carry the most important thing, evangelism, good news. But now, Jesus says this, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. But what is good news? What is good news? And some of you don't want to go out because you don't know what to say. And if you don't have what to say, then you want to force me question your salvation. Can't you tell people about what happened to you if you are truly born again? Yeah, obviously we will train you. We've talked among ourselves, we will train you, because many people fear, say, what am I going to tell them? So let me quickly just help you out. What's the good news? That's the heart of everything. Good news is good news because at first there is bad news. Without bad news, you cannot appreciate the good news. And I always tell you that there's a simple way. We have many, many ways of, witnessing to those out. There are many ways. One simple way, as I've been telling some of you, is just use five words. Who, what. That's the gospel. Who, what, only five. Begin is, who is God? You can even ask them, what do you understand God to be? Hear their answer and then help them, tell them that God is an eternal, most holy and most righteous being. Eternal, holy and righteous being who created and sustains all things. And then explain to them what the words righteous and holy mean. He is perfect. He cannot deal with anything filthy. He is holy. This is the God of the Bible. That's the first who, you've exhausted it. Go to the second, who is man? Man is a rebel. Let me say, is a sinner, liar, murderer, fornicator, proud creature who rebelled against the Holy God. You, as you sit there, except those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are sinful, you're a liar, you're a murderer, a fornicator, a rebel, a hater of God. So now, do you see these two persons now? Can they walk together? No! How did you rebel against this holy God? In the Garden of Eden, it tells you, don't eat from this fruit. Because the day you eat from this, you'll surely die. Did you obey? You didn't. You are, as they say, Satan is a liar from the beginning. Also, you're also a rebel from the beginning. Reason why you rebel against your parents, you rebel against your husband, against your wife, against your pastors, because you've been a rebel from the beginning. And God chased you from his presence because of your rebellion. And you go to the first, the third word, or the first word. Now, if you rebelled against this holy God, what did he do? If you read about the attributes of God, you learn that this God is the burning fire. He could have swept you there and then. He would have thrown you into hell. But did he do that? No, he didn't. Instead, he sent his only son to come and die for his hater, as you are. What kind of a person is that? Can you do that? Even this day, aren't you trying to pay evil for evil? Say, Pastor Bill, don't tell me that. You don't know how much this has really disobeyed me. I can't just forgive him like that. You stand up, a creature, a mere worm, and you slap the most holy God in the face. Yahweh, whenever you disobey his command, you slap him in the face. But look at the attitude of this God. What did he do? He sent his only son to die for you. Who is God? Holy. Who is man? Sinful and rebellious. What did God do? Chased this rebel from his presence. What did God do? Sent his only son to die for this rebel. What should you do to be in harmony with his God? Just who, what, the gospel is hidden there. After you had sinned, what did he do? He sent you from his presence. And after that, what did he do? He sent his son to come and look for you. Did you say sorry? You didn't. It's not part of you. It's part of your DNA to say sorry. Even today, if you are going to say, I repent, it's because of the grace of God. But left to your own, it's not part of you to say, I'm sorry. Adam started blaming the wife. All this is because of you. And also blaming God for bringing the wife to him. And wife is blaming the serpent. None of them said, let's go turn to the Lord and say sorry. That's why up to these days you have not said sorry before God. Because it's not part of you. Some of those here who said I'm sorry, I repented it in truth, it's because of grace. Which grace, as I told you, I've failed to understand. I can't understand grace. What is it? When I see how it jumps others and go to others. And we cry and we pray and we preach, but it leaves our children, it leaves our mothers, our parents, and go to other people. What is grace? I don't know. What haven't I done for some of my friends? What? But I don't see grace, not even sense of grace with them. What is grace? Cry for that grace today. Aren't you the ones who sang? That is, this grace is greater than all your sins? Yes, it is. The enemy comes to deceive you always. You cannot be born again. Look at all these sins. None in this room has sinned like you. Tell him I'm going today. I'm going to Christ today. Because the marvelous grace of Christ is greater than all my sins. So now, RBC, after this sermon, if I wish we could even send a missionary after this sermon. There's a difference between a missionary and a witness. Yeah, because you think because you... Yeah, forgive me a bit. Let me use a few minutes and then I end. You think because you go and talk about Christ in this community and you talk about Christ with your parents, then you are a missionary. And I hear even some people say that every Christian is a missionary. No, that's very wrong. That's wrong. Every Christian should be having a mission's mind. But missionaries are called. You need to have the call for missions. Because it's not easy there. Because churches are now saying that every Christian is a mission, so they just pick whoever they want and send into missions field. After 6 months, 1 year, the guy said, no, I cannot continue this. He leaves the flock to suffer. Because they are sending any Christian to the mission field. That's why we have many missionaries of swagger. The word swagger simply means to behave in a pompous or in a superior manner. Self-important. To boast or brag. Yeah, that's swagger. It's a term that personally I don't want to hear Christians use. So now, in this worship service, we want to worship in swagger. What do you mean? Yeah, so we are having now missionaries of swagger who want everything to be put in place before they go to the missions field. RBC, don't send such a person. He's not a missionary. He has not been called for that. How much money are you going to give me? We give you 1 million every month. But the cost of living in Tinder is high. Can't you give me 5 million? And Pastor Bill, is there a car? Oh man, what are you doing? Go and dig maize. Leave missions alone. Jesus Christ left the splendor, all the his comforts of heaven, and came down here. This world is worse compared to heaven. But he came. You still want to go into missions with your comforts. And you see them build their own kingdom, missionaries build their own kingdoms in the missions field. Yes, they feed the hungry. Yes, they educate the poor. But they don't tell them about the good news. And you see some people saying, "Nah, me, if I'm graduating today at Makere, it's because of this missionary. We don't need that. We don't care. Do you know Christ? Do you know Christ? They picked me when I was still in the kindergarten. They've met all my tuition up to now. But after that speech, you are going to fornicate. We don't need such missionaries. Look at another missionary after Christ, Brother Paul in the Bible. How much he suffered. Okay, I'm not saying that when we say we want you to go and suffer, that's not what I'm saying. So that if we come to you and say, Brother, look, go to the pastor, first wait, you already preached that I need to go and suffer there. I'm not saying so. I'm not saying so. It's our responsibility as your sending church to make sure you don't struggle. But it's not you as the missionary. Where do you want to send me, my elders? We want to send you to Koboko. So, but Pastor, I was thinking about Makerere. You know Makerere Hill there. You see Kololo. Missionaries of Swaga. Don't separate two things in missions. Yeah, because you might think it's only the compassion for the lost. And you abandon something very important for missions. The glory of God. By the way, the glory of God comes first. It is bigger and more important than even your compassion for the lost. The ultimate reason for missions is the fact that the infinite God, all glorious creator of the universe, by whom and for whom all things exist, is disregarded, disbelieved, disobeyed, and dishonored among the peoples of the world. That is an enough reason to send you even after this sermon into missions. Himself said in Malachi 1:11, God himself, he said, from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name. And a pure offering. For he repeats again, if God repeats something twice, it means a lot. For my name will be great among the nations, say the Lord of hosts. Now, when you put your eyes out, is the name of our living God great among the nations of Uganda? The answer is no. That should be enough motivation to send you into missions. To go and tell someone about this God. Until when? His name will be great and glorious among all the nations. Let us revise many evangelistic methods. Street evangelism, person to person. Movie evangelism. We have a projector. Let's start. And come up with others. This country is awaiting us. Let's go everywhere. Let's send missionaries. You are not a missionary because you go out in this community. You are not. It is apostle, apo, from, and stepo, stelo, to be sent. So you need to be sent from here to somewhere for you to qualify to be a missions according to scripture. Because Jesus Christ did not evangelize to us from heaven. He came down here. Compassion must not merely warn people about the pains of going to hell, but it must also lure or attract them to the pleasures of knowing Christ. The two motives in missions are a passion for God's glory or supremacy and compassion for the lost. These two have to go together. As I end, always ponder upon what you sing. Otherwise, you become liars every Sunday here. Are you not the ones who have just sung? That there's a call comes ringing over the restless wave, saying, send the light, send the light. Are you not the ones who have just sung RBC that send the blessed gospel light to the lost in Uganda? And you say, let it shine from border to border, from shore to shore. Let its radiance beam light our beautiful country forevermore. You've just sung those words this morning. But why do you want to sing things without putting them into practice? How are you sending that light? How? Are you not the ones who have just sung in your own vernacular, in own Luganda language, a powerful song? Nagenda, and I'll always go. Wherever he sends me, I'll always go. Jesus is calling you. You've been singing it in Luganda. Jesus is calling you because the harvest is ripe. Who's going to respond gladly that here I am, Lord, send me? Who is there? And then you deceive him. Nagendanga, buli jontuma, be going. Wherever you send me, will never you send me. You've been singing it. Yeah, maybe let's thank God about for you singing that, because we will send you. We'll send you. I beg that we end with this hymn, Send the Light. Yeah, so we were going to end with another hymn, but I just beg that we end. Please, as we sing it after service, follow the message. Follow the message. There's a call ringing. Send the light. Rescue them. They are dying. Send the light. After this service, let us close these doors and let us all go out and proclaim the gospel. If you are here and you are not in Christ's family, he says himself that he was anointed and he was sent so that he could proclaim good news to you. so that he could bring you liberty. Because you are in chains. You are not free. Even if you used your feet to walk to RBC, they have chains on them. You are not free. But he came to set you free today. He came so that your eyes could see again. You're blind, even if you say, Pastor Bill, I'm seeing you. You are seeing, but you are blind. Give your life to Christ. Father, we thank you for these words. Amen.